In James chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 14. Let's read through the rest of this chapter. Follow me here as we read. James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding he give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. Now listen to this. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, faith had an awful lot to do with it, didn't it? And works. The Bible teaches us that we're saved by God's grace through our faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we believe in Him and accept Him as our personal Savior, we're saved. Because faith is believing. But our text tells us here in verse 19 that the devils also believe and tremble. So when the devils believe, does that mean that they are saved? That's the point that he's making here. They believe and tremble. We just believe and we're saved. The devils confess with their mouth that there is one God. They are affected mentally. They believe. They are affected emotionally. They tremble. Yet they remain unchanged spiritually. They're not saved when they do that. They are informed. They know all about it. but they are not transformed. They are convinced, but they're not converted. They recognize the deity of Christ, but they do not repent. Now, a lot of people don't believe in demons. The Bible speaks of demons all the way through. And we get the idea that demons, unclean spirits, or devils, as they're called, are substantially the same. And we're taught, we've been taught that they are fallen angels. That way back yonder, there was a war in heaven, and it was led by Lucifer, who himself was an angel, and he and about a third of the angels that were in heaven rose up in rebellion against God, led by Satan. Now they tried to overthrow the throne of God. Of course, they couldn't, because God is omnipotent. He has all power. But as a result of their rebellion, they were cast down. Now, we don't know when that was, or very little about the circumstances of it. But it seems that they came down to this earth, and as spirit beings, not having a physical body like we do, they were spirit beings. They would enter into the physical bodies of people like you and me. And once they entered into that body, they would take possession of it. And they would make that body do what they willed it to do. They would use its mouth to speak, and use the other parts of its body to accomplish their evil purposes. Well, we're enlightened now in this age. We're more intelligent than those people that lived back in the prehistoric days 2,000 years ago, when they believed in demon possession and devil possession and unclean spirits and such as that. Why, if you were to take that out of the New Testament, Jesus wouldn't have much ministry left, because he did an awful lot of that. But you talk to any person today, finds you a good college graduate, why, he knows that before the ink's dry on his diploma, that there's no such thing as demons and devils and unclean spirits. We've outgrown all of that old superstitious stuff they tell us today. But while I was working for the county some years ago, I had the opportunity to work in the mental health department for a substantial period of time. And I'd like for you to spend a week in a mental health department down here, and then come out and say there ain't no such thing as demons and devils. I've seen them, and I'm intelligent enough to know one when I see one. And I saw lots of people out there that were possessed with those. They were not in their right minds. It's terrible. Now, this faith, we're talking about the faith of demons tonight. Demon faith. The faith of these demons closely resembles the kind of faith that's displayed by a lot of modern Christians today. They profess to believe in every fundamental doctrine of biblical Christianity, and yet, according to James, their faith is as dead as a week old fish. Demons believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They believe that he is the Son of God, and he is God the Son. And that's a lot better than many so-called Christians today. Over in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, we covered this in Sunday school not long ago. We find Jesus at Capernaum. And on the Sabbath day, he would go into the synagogues and teach. There was a man present in the synagogue. That's a Jewish church now. He was at church that Sabbath day, and he had, the Bible says, an unclean spirit, which is the equivalent of a demon or a devil. And that unclean spirit cried out using this man's voice. He said, "Let us alone." Use the word us, which means that's plural. That's more than one, isn't it? Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now here is this unclean spirit using the voice of this man, using his vocal cords, and he said, "I know thee, who thou art. You are the Holy One of God." He knows. Well, why shouldn't he know? He used to be one of those fallen angels, I believe. And he knows Jesus Christ. And he knew him when he was here. There's another occasion in Mark chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the land of the Gadarenes, and there was a man there with an unclean spirit. And when Jesus landed, this man saw him, and he came out from his dwelling place, the Bible says, among the tombs. He's living out in the cemetery. And ran and worshiped him. He worshiped Jesus. This unclean spirit in this man. He'd never seen Jesus before. But using this man's body, he brought him to Jesus and knelt down and worshiped Jesus. And he cried out, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" He knew who Jesus was, didn't he? He knew his deity. He was the Son of the Most High God. He says, "I adjure thee." And that word adjure means to swear under oath, tell the truth. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now the other ones had said to him, talked to him about destroying them, because they knew that he had the power to destroy them, and they knew what their end was going to be, and we'll get to that in a little while here. But nowhere in the biblical record will you find a demon or an unclean spirit or a devil who denied the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. They knew who he was, and they knew him from eternity past. I'll tell you something else the demons knew and know. They know the way of salvation. People are in the world today are all mixed up about how to be saved. But they knew how to be saved. There was a young woman in Philippi who was possessed with a spirit of divination. In Acts chapter 16, she was kind of a fortune teller. And there were some unscrupulous people who were using her unusual talents to make money. And Luke tells us that she followed Paul and us around for days, the Spirit in her causing her to cry out to the people, "These men," speaking of Paul and his party, "these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." They knew how to be saved. And they knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. In Mark chapter 3, verse 11, there were some unclean spirits who saw Jesus. And the Bible says that they fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." Now, the Son of God, that's Jesus' redemptive title, isn't it? And it sounds suspiciously like the same confession that Peter made when God the Father revealed it to him. And he said in Matthew 16:16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood's not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." It was a revelation to Peter that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Oh, I'll tell you something else. The devils believe in the authority of the Bible. Do you remember right after Jesus was baptized? Does the Bible tell us that the Spirit of the Lord took him into the wilderness and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by the devil? And the devil would come to him and tempt him. And you know what they did? They had a sword fight. They were using the Word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the devil would say, "It is written," and Jesus would counter and say, "It is written," and back and forth they went. Jesus won, by the way. They believe the Bible is the Word of God. You won't find a record anywhere in the Bible about doubting Thomas demons. They're just not in it. They intellectually agree that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh, they also believe in hell. They do. They believe in a hereafter. They believe in hell. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 and verse 41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Doesn't it say that? The devil and his angels. And that's the reason why these devils there and unclean spirits said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They knew there was a time coming when they were going to be tormented in hell. They'll go to hell because they have to. Men go to hell because they want to. Because they'd rather go to hell than to go to heaven. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus met two men. They were possessed by exceeding fierce devils. And they cried out when Jesus came into their midst, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They knew who he was. They acknowledged his deity. "Art thou come hither to torment us before our time?" They knew there was a time coming that they would be tormented, and they say, "Are you going to torment us before our time?" They didn't want to go there any sooner than they had to. Don't blame them. They believed that Jesus was their judge. and they believed that their eternal destiny was in his hands. Did you know that Jesus answered the prayer of demons? He answers prayer, even when demons pray. Let me give you an illustration. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus caused an unclean spirit to come out of a man. Then Jesus asked this unclean spirit, he says, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Then that unclean spirit, here's where the prayer comes in. The unclean spirit besought him much. That sounds to me like he's kind of begging him. Besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Where'd they want to go? He said, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." They didn't want to be just embodied spirits. They wanted a body to indwell. And so Jesus answered their prayer. He granted their request, and they entered into a herd of 2,000 hogs that were in one big bunch out here. And when those hogs became devil possessed, they didn't like it either. And they ran over a steep cliff and plunged into the ocean out there, and they all drowned. They figured they'd be better off dead. And the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to those unclean spirits. I don't think they drowned, though, with the hogs. So we find that the demons have faith, and their faith produces answers to prayer. They believe in hell. They believe in the authority of the Bible. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is the way of salvation. Wow, and yet they're not saved. They're not saved.
Never will
be. They have no enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. You don't find them assembling together and singing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." No, they don't do that. They don't deny the fact of the cross, but they don't celebrate it like we do. And they don't sing like we did a while ago, "Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me." They don't sing that. Why? Because there's no magnetism in the cross that would draw them there to Jesus like it does us. Even though they have faith and believe in Jesus. I believe that today if a person's heart's not drawn to Calvary, then they have demon faith. Their faith is no different from the faith of these demons. Demon faith doesn't lead them to repentance. Romans 2:4 says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And we know that the teaching of the Bible is that there's no forgiveness of sin apart from repentance. Jesus preached. What did he preach? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The message that he's given us to preach is repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name. When Paul preached, he preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 17:30 says, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And it's our faith in Christ that leads us to repentance. The devils have faith, but their faith does not lead them to repentance. And the difference between demons and Christians is that demons have never repented. Repent means to change the mind, to change one's attitude. And this change of mind leads to a change of heart, which results in a change of life. And a person becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. Demons may believe and tremble, but they never confess and forsake their sins. They never humble themselves by mourning and grieving over their rebellion and disobedience to God. So they never seek God's mercy with broken hearts because of sin. And demon faith, going back now to James, is deficient in the good works department. Three times, James tells us that faith without works is dead. And dead faith is no better than demon faith. And that kind of faith cannot save. Somebody has said that we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. I like that. It's always accompanied by good works. Now, good works do not prove that a person is saved, but their absence will prove that a person is not saved. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then, this is Jesus speaking, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's what Jesus said. And they called him Lord. They did many wonderful works, and yet they are eternally lost. Judas Iscariot, look at him. We talked about him this morning. Judas called Jesus Master. He performed miracles with the rest of the apostles. But look what happened to him. Someone said he kissed the door of heaven and fell headlong into hell. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Faith without fruit is dead faith. Where there's no fruit, there is no life. The Bible speaks of fruit as being 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Not everyone is the same, but everybody has something. Many of the old-time churches used to require what they called credible evidences of salvation before they would accept a person into the membership of their church. You say that you're saved, you come to, you make your profession of faith in Christ, we're going to watch your life for a while and see if we can see evidence of you being a new creature in Christ. and then you come back to us later and join our church if you're good enough, if you do enough good works. Well, that's more or less what Jesus said, wasn't it? Demon faith does not affect behavior. Demons may be informed, but they're not transformed. They may be enlightened, but they are not enlivened. Their belief system does not affect their lifestyle. When a person's beliefs have no effect on his habits of life, his faith is the same faith that the demons have. Someone has said, where there's no holy living, there is no Holy Ghost. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, if old things do not pass away, and all things do not become new, then that person is definitely not a new creature in Christ Jesus. He is still in Adam. He's not in Christ. Saved people are not perfect. They're just forgiven. But they're different from what they used to be. The transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God is obvious in their lives. Paul said that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And he said again, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that makes those changes in us. Now, demons are not changed by their faith, because they don't have the Spirit of God. And another thing, they are not chastened. Chastening is a mark of sonship. So if you can sin and get by with it, it's proof that you're not a child of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. He said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. He, for our profit, he chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And after the chastening, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He didn't chasten the demons. No use to. So what kind of faith do we have? Is it a faith that leads us to repentance? Is it a faith that produces good works? Is it a faith that affects our lifestyle? Is it a faith that causes us to get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. So what kind of faith do we have? Do we have demon faith? Do we have dead faith? Faith that's without works is a dead faith? Or do we have the kind of faith that produces good works and brings glory to Almighty God? Thank you for coming tonight. This coming Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock here, we kind of gave a brief introduction last Wednesday night to Egypt and Israel. Egypt, the oldest nation in the world. There was an Egypt way back before the flood in Noah's day. Egypt was a nation before Adam, the first man, ever died. And we've got evidence of it. We've got pyramids and we've got the Sphinx and all this. We gave an introduction this past Wednesday night. We're going to get into it about Egypt and Israel this coming Wednesday night in our Bible study. And we'd invite you out to come to be with us in that. And with that, I'm going to ask you to stand with us and ask Brother Brian if he will lead us in our prayer tonight. Dismiss our service.
Father, we thank you for these great messages of learning. Thank you, Lord, that we might understand who you are, what your purpose and plan is.